Peter Morin, a Tarleton artist. Robert Joseph, a Kwakwaka'wakw hereditary chief. Larry Grant, a Musqueam elder and language researcher. Sharon Fortney, a Coast Salish curator. Clyde Talio, a New Holk knowledge keeper, ceremonials, and speaker. Sarah Hunt, a Kwakwaka'wakw scholar and professor. Robin Gray, a Tsimshian and Mi'kisu Cree scholar, dancer, singer, and apprenticing weaver. Vanessa Campbell, a Musqueam language researcher. Beau Dick, a Kwakwaka'wakw artist and hereditary chief. William White, a Tsimshian weaver. Reno Point Bolton, a Stalo matriarch and artist. And Nicholas Glannon, a Tlingit artist.
These individuals contributed text and audio to Moa's exhibition in a different light, some of which has been included within this short reading of the exhibition. In addition, the curatorial team who developed the curatorial voice that I referred to throughout this exhibition reading, those people include Karen Dufek, Bill McLennan, and Jordan Wilson.
June 21st is National Indigenous Peoples Day, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM's special programming in celebration, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral territory of the Musqueam people.
This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Support the women of the Downtown East Side and spring into the Scotiabank Charity Challenge on June 24th. Join the Downtown East Side Women's Center in crowdsourcing funds and spreading awareness of their organization, which provides safe space, emergency shelter, basic essentials, and a continuum of support to marginalized women. Go to www.dewc.ca/run-4-dewc for more information. The iconic Rickshaw Theatre celebrates its 9 years as a music venue in the heart of Vancouver's downtown east side. The once movie theatre turned live music venue has hosted a number of legendary acts over the years, including The Sonics, Gary Numan, DOA, Buzzcocks, War on Drugs, Misfits, King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard, and many more. To celebrate its 9 years, the Rickshaw has invited Art to Echo, Sunbathe with members from Typhoon, The Intelligence Service, and Cartoon Lizard with a liquid light show by the world-renowned Mad Alchemy. For ticket information, please check out rickshawtheater.com.
Tensions have been rising during the past year as the expiration date draws closer for 20 open-net fish farm tenures in the Broughton Archipelago. The foreign investors operating the farms have been feeling pressure from First Nations groups to get out of their traditional waters. The farms are located in the Kwakwaka'wakw territories of the Namgis, Mamalila'kala, and four Musqueam Tsewaddenook tribes. Throughout the year, representatives from these six First Nations and their allies have met with the BC provincial government, issued eviction notices to the farms, and participated in frontline action in order to assert their indigenous land rights and sovereignty. This Wednesday, June 20th, the provincial government will decide whether to renew the tenures or let them expire. Should the tenures remain in place, First Nations communities and allies will continue to engage in protest until the farms are effectively removed.
Until we win.
The singing and drumming that you hear now, as well as the rest of the content featured in this documentary, was recorded at a rally to end fish farm tenures in March of 2018. The rally took place in Vancouver in front of MLA George Heyman's office on West Broadway. First, listen to the words of Eddie Gardner, a Stolo elder from the Squaw First Nation.
For 30 years they've said, get those fish farms out of our territory. 30 long years they've made it perfectly clear that the fish farms are destroying their food resource. They've served eviction notices to them. They have a 3 month long and still going on fish farm occupation saying, we want those fish farms out. We are united from the youngest one to the oldest one. We want those fish farms out. And now they're saying, now they're hanging their decision on whether or not to not renew those fish farms on this process. Chief Don Svanvik, he said, this is not the way to go. We need rapid and swift action to close those pipes, to shut off those pipes that are putting blood water infected with piscine rarefied. Shut them off right now. We can't wait for the process. We have June. June is the deadline for them to not renew those fish farm tenures in the Broughton Archipelago. Are they going to continue on with them, or are they going to stop that? Are they not going to renew it?
Shut them down.
Because Bob Chamberlain is saying it would be a great gesture of good faith if they decided right now to say to the public, we're going to honor the indigenous rights of the people up there, and we're not going to renew those fish farm tenures. That process that they say they've entered into is a consent-based dialogue discussion to address that issue of fish farms, as well as all the other issues that they have in mind, to honor this consent-based dialogue and discussion and honor the commitment that the NDP made to implement the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Let's hold their feet to the fire on this and insist that they not renew those tenures. The fish farms, the same fish that swim past our communities all along the river, are the same fish that have to swim past those open net pen sewers, where there's one of the biggest virus spills in the world that is carrying on right now. They're threatening the indigenous rights of the river people, the indigenous river people, a right to a salmon fishery, and all the people along the river with the wild salmon caravan that we went on. Every community we visited all the way up there said, we need those fish farms out of the migration routes of our wild salmon.
The rally's next speaker features the words of Don Morrison, the founder of BC Food Systems Networking on Indigenous Food Sovereignty.
White Kohaida, Esquest Don Morrison in Summit Stream, Esquest Tuyuluk in Sepetnik Stream. I'm a member of the Secwepemc Nation, and I'm honored to be asked here to speak on Coast Salish territory, the ancestral territory of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh people. This is unceded lands and waters, and my home territory is up in the Adams River. I inherited my Secwepemc ancestry from my grandmother, Edith Sewell, the late Edith Sewell, and my mother, Bernice Heather. And our people are stewards of some of the most amazing salmon spawning grounds in the upper Adams River, and caretakers of the only inland temperate rainforest. For thousands of years, it's been encoded in our ancestral memories how important our wild salmon and our water is. It's not only important to us as Secwepemc, it's important for all the people downstream. We must challenge this system to start to learn how to deal with the complexity and make those connections. It's not enough to wait until we see the devastating cumulative impacts of the fish farms and the impacts they're having all the way up to the headwaters. As I was driving here this morning, I was looking at the hospital and where we are, where we're situated. This whole region is a part of an industrial military complex with the pharmaceutical companies, the medical system, where there's lots of sick people. There are epidemic proportions of food-related illnesses, and it's costing taxpayers billions of dollars. A lot of those chronic diseases can be prevented. Farmed salmon is highly inferior in nutrition. I would not eat it. I can tell by looking at it, the vibrational energy of that salmon will never ever match our wild salmon. We have to stop making people sick for as David Suzuki said, for the mere few pittance of jobs, where indigenous peoples mostly are being used as slave labor in these kinds of farms, in the same way my family was used as slave labor in the orchards when they got out of Indian residential school. This country has a shameful history of agriculture that was introduced in the late 1800s, on par with British morality, that established a legal doctrine and a rights-based strategy that dispossessed us, made invisible. You will not find indigenous peoples visible anywhere in the literature of the agri-food systems research and development. Fish farms are a part of that legacy. Fish farms are a part of the social and historical injustices of which is created a really bad karmic pattern in the land and food system. We cannot continue to perpetuate this horrible systemic racism and dispossession of our most important indigenous food, wild salmon. Right on. I've always respected the work of Dr. David Suzuki when he talks about the genetic connection between the cedar trees and the nitrogen isotope of wild salmon that's found in those trees. Well, that same genetic imprint is encoded in my history and every indigenous peoples that live in so-called BC. Wild salmon is not only our most important indigenous food, but a cultural and ecological keystone species. We've seen starving grizzlies. We've been seen starving wolves, literally being reported just recently, walking through towns, small rural towns, skin and bones, because they have no wild salmon, let alone our own people who are dying of diabetes and other epidemic proportions of food-related illness. We cannot tolerate this any longer. Again, think about the food you eat when you go into the grocery store. Think about the food you're eating that's been grown on stolen land? What kind of a conscious eater, what kind of a karmic pattern does that have when that food becomes you? So let's be more mindful about what kind of industry we're supporting and the huge impact that it's having on us as people and the social issues surrounding that.
The First Nations' political involvement with the BC provincial government about the fish farms presents a critical historical crossroads. The government's legislative decision to either renew the foreign farm tenures, abolish them, or remain passive on the issue will shape the future of Canada's relationship with the First Nations tribes that are involved. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has spoken about the Liberal government of Canada's sacred obligation to honor the rights of First Nations peoples. Namgis Chief Ernest Alfred has said that, quote, there will be no reconciliation in our territory as long as the fish farms are in our waters. Here's what Eddie Gardner had to say about reconciliation.
One thing that that we need to be very mindful of is that that big word, reconciliation. Reconciliation. The Indian residential school survivors launched a lawsuit and they entered into negotiations talking about what happened, bringing out the truth about what happened in those Indian residential schools. And Canadians are more conscious now that the intent of the Indian residential school legacy was to kill the Indian in the child, was to absorb the First Nations people, the Indigenous people in the Canadian body politic, so they would disappear. There would be no more Indian problem. And no lands, you know, would be contested. So it was, in fact, land theft. It was part of their agenda for land theft, to wrest the land and the resources of Indigenous people who occupied these territories for thousands and thousands of years. Now we have a dangerous threat of open net pen fish farms. It is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are doing harm, and it could be irreversible harm. And if they do irreversible harm to our wild salmon, what is going to happen to our spiritual, cultural, and physical well-being? Our very cultural identity is at stake, just the same way as the Indian residential school legacy was all about. They want to kill our culture. They want to do away with the salmon. And the salmon is who we are as Indigenous people. As the salmon goes, so do we. And we will not stand for it one bit.
After the rally officially ended, I was fortunate enough to speak personally with Elder Eddie Gardner and ask him some questions of my own. Eddie has been advocating to protect wild salmon for over the past 5 years. His responses in the following interview explain the threat that farmed fish pose to the surrounding ecosystems and to First Nations' entire livelihood and culture. He speaks about his engagement with activism and leaves us with a message, how we too can get involved in the fight against fish farms.
Could you just start by giving a quick introduction about yourself and your involvement with the movement?
Sure, my name is Eddie Gardner. My Hulmuk name is T'itilum Spath, and I come from the Squat First Nation. We're Stalo people, people of the river. We consider ourselves as salmon people. And I am also president of the Wild Salmon Defenders Alliance. And we have a working group that is very dedicated to address industrial harms that are being done to our wild salmon. And one of them we've been focusing on as a great priority is the open net pen fish farms in our on the migration routes of our wild salmon. We want them out of there because they're doing harm to our salmon. Mm-hmm.
You've shared a lot of stories about how the salmon farms have really impacted the communities.
Yes.
Could you share a story where you noticed that the presence of the fish farms was really affecting you a very personal story?
Well, when we're fishing on the river and we catch farm salmon, we know that they're foreign, and we say, where are these fish coming from? They're not from our territory, and so we are very concerned about what the fish are doing in terms of competing out competing the wild fish, for one thing, for food, and also they do have viruses that can spread to wild salmon. So after looking into this, the health condition of farm salmon, we discovered that they have such high contamination levels that nutrition experts warn people, especially pregnant women and children, not to consume those fish.
That's scary.
Yeah, that is very scary. So that has spurred us on to do boycott rallies at all the stores that are selling farm salmon, so that people can take their own precautionary measures and choose not to eat farm salmon.
Yeah, it's important for people to know what they're putting in their bodies, especially when there's so many diseases.
Oh yes, for sure. Yeah. And we've been in touch with Claudette Bethune, who is a scientist who studies the fish, both wild and farm salmon, and she's made big comparisons about them and has confirmed that they have PCBs, you know, polychlorinated biphenyls is what they call. And it's cancerous. They have antibiotics in them. They have chemicals that they use to try to fight the battle of sea lice, parasites. And there's a number of other contaminants in the farm fish that are very shocking. And so sushi restaurants, we're trying to figure out a strategy to address the sushi restaurants to get them not to sell farm salmon and to warn their clients not to to choose wild only, you know, to protect their own health. So we've been all this awareness, all the work that Dr. Alexandra Morton has been doing and Claudette Bethune has motivated me to step up the public awareness of the dangers of wild salmon, of farm salmon to wild salmon, and also to the health of human beings, and also to the well-being of all the other animals and birds, you know, and fish that consume wild salmon as well. Their health is at risk, and if the fish farms wind up driving the final nail in the coffin of wild salmon, then it will be an ecological disaster, and it will do great harm to us, because it will mean cultural genocide for indigenous people, and the well-being of every human being is at stake here as well, because wild salmon is known as a climate change regulator. Because when the wolves and the bears and the eagles all consume those salmon as they go up the river, They carry the carcasses, and their manure provides all the nutrients that the rainforest needs, you know. And the rainforest is provide us with the oxygen that we need to breathe. So if the salmon runs are no longer, then those trees up in along the river will not have those rich nutrients the salmon brings from the ocean, so they will suffer. And when they suffer, of course, we suffer. And
it's really clear how everything is really connected cyclically, all the humans and the nature and ecosystems and animals. And it's kind of amazing to see how the weakening of one linkage affects so many other things in a huge ripple event.
Yeah. Yes, we as indigenous people have do our sacred first salmon ceremonies. We pray to the water, we pray to our relatives, we consider salmon as our relatives. We do this every year, very periodically. We go to the water and we do sing the songs and we do pray. And but now we're seeing so many overwhelming threats that are posed to our wild salmon. We're very frightened. We're very afraid that they will go by the way of the cod. They will go by the way of the buffalo, and that's why it's motivating myself and our group of people who are dedicated now to pull out all the stops we can to save our wild salmon, you know, from open net pen fish farms, from irresponsible mining, from big oil, fracking, and the bitumen, the Kinder Morgan project. All of that is a big threat to our wild salmon. So we don't want to get overwhelmed by it, so we choose to marshal our energies, our love, our joy, and the work that we're doing so that we can continue to do what we feel we need to do with that kind of energy. So,
yeah. What would you recommend as good plans of action for allies who want to help with the movement as well?
I would say to stay very connected with Salmon Are Sacred, to stay very connected with the fish farm occupation. There's a lot of information online, and there's also our www.wsda.ca. That's our website, the Wild Salmon Defenders Alliance. Stay tuned with us. Stay tuned with us and follow up on all the petitions, all the letters that need to be done, to be written to John Horgan and Minister Dominique Leblanc at the federal level. We know Clayquot Sound is doing a lot of really good work. We know that Watershed Watch, Salmon Society, is doing really good work. They've put out a petition on a safe passage, you know, for wild salmon. People can contact them and sign that petition. They can rally in support of Dr. Alexander Morton, who is challenging, you know, the fish farm industry. Bring on your scientists or scientists. And here's your chance to prove me wrong about the science. I am confident that if we had a public debate on this, that people would finally come to the truth, to finally realize the truth of what's going on here. And that is Piscine Real Virus, a Norwegian strain, is in our waters. It's in the farm salmon. It's highly contagious. And it's posing a threat to our wild salmon, and they must the fish farms must be removed. So she's very confident. She's conducted many studies. She did 26 studies. She's challenged the minister. She won several court decisions, and now she's still having to go back to court and fight Dominique Leblanc once again about testing farm salmon for the Piscine Real Virus before they decide to put him in Pacific waters. So she's in her fifth year on this, And now we're going to see what comes of it. But she is asking the public to support her, and she has some 5,000 signatures already. Yes. And Clickwat Sound also put a petition together and got 26,000 signatures of people saying, do not put deleterious blood water in our ocean. And so that has sparked greater awareness. The federal and provincial governments are like, they have their, they've been caught in the headlights, you know, and are just nervous about how they're going to decide what to do with this situation. And so we're very pleased with all the pressure that is coming together right now. Everything seems to be coming to a head, and we need to encourage that critical mass that is really necessary for British Columbians to rise up and say, in a big, strong, powerful, collective voice, get those fish farms out of the water. Do the same that they're doing down in the state of Washington. Follow suit with all those other states that have chosen not to have fish farms along their coast, including Alaska.
Yeah, everyone needs to be involved.
Yes, everybody needs to be. We need a whole Pacific coast become an open net pen fish farm free zone. Yeah, that's what we need.
Thank you for speaking with me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Since the production of this documentary, the BC government has announced its decision. Effective from the year 2022, all West Coast fish farms will be required to receive First Nations approval in order to have their tenures renewed. The farms will also need to demonstrate that their operations will not impact wild salmon populations. As for the currently expiring tenures, these will be renewed on a monthly basis until the 2022 framework sets into place. This is a call for the government to make legislative decisions that reflect its supposed commitment to reconciliation with BC First Nations. For listeners who want to get involved and stand up for Indigenous rights, please follow Elder Eddie's advice or reach out to the MLAs of British Columbia. This documentary is broadcasted from the unceded, ancestral, and traditional land of the Musqueam people.
Spirit of the Children's Society presents Celebrating the Drum, a National Indigenous Peoples Day celebration. Come on down as we have live cultural entertainment, traditional arts and crafts, and many more. It's all happening on Thursday, June 21st from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m.
It's an outdoor extravaganza, so bring your family, friends, and everyone you know.
National Indigenous Peoples Day is sponsored by the Province of BC,
U.S. Minister Museums and Heritage Services,
BC Arts Council,
Red Fox,
Royal Bank,
Arts Council of New Westminster,
and First Nations Health Authority.
For more information, give us a call at 604-524-9113.
We're also online at sotcs.ca.